edition of the Evan Bray Show. Great to have you here on a windy, a gusty, but predominantly sunny Thursday that we find ourselves in today. It's going to be windy throughout the whole day. Much of the province seeing winds somewhere between 70 and maybe up to 90 kilometers an hour. Gusty, gusty winds. So keep that in mind. Whatever your plans are for some, it might change your plans a little bit, but the winds will die down by tomorrow, but today is going to be windy. Well, we have got so many different stories that we're following, a number of things at the federal level, provincial level, local and municipal as well. One of the stories that has been, since yesterday morning, top of our news has been the arrests that were made, the raid that was done in Richmond, Saskatchewan. Now, we have watched for 2 years as a community has been held hostage. Romana Didulo, cult leader, conspiracy theorist, she calls herself the Queen of Canada, has a small group of followers that set up shop, if you will, in a vacant school in the community of Richmond, which is on the far west part of our province. 154 people, I think, the last population check that I saw for that community. They were welcomed into this vacant building, a former school, by the now private owner of the school. And since then, there have been a barrage of problems. Fear for safety, intimidation, threatening. Police have had to intervene a number of times. Charges have been laid in some cases. Well, yesterday things boiled to the surface and came to a head. And we saw police swoop in. We saw a number of arrests made. We talked about it through the show. Yesterday afternoon, the RCMP held a news conference to give a few more details, shed a bit of light on this. And our senior reporter from our CJME newsroom, Lisa Schick, was covering that and joins me in studio this morning. Lisa, thanks for popping in.
Yeah, good morning.
So yesterday, RCMP hold a news conference. What did we learn? Can you give us a bit of the story as it unfolded yesterday?
Yeah, so we got a bit of background about what actually led to this. Obviously, it's been about 2 years of frustration for people in Richmond. There have been, you know, harassment complaints, assault complaints in kind of that area. But this actually didn't have anything to do with that. This came about because RCMP got a report that someone in that building, in kind of that group, had a gun. Now, they got that report last week. They said, you know, they launched an investigation. They kind of surveilled and kept watch over what was going on there because they wanted to make sure that if they did go in, public safety, you know, was paramount, that nothing would happen that would endanger public safety in the town. So they kind of watched things for a while. And then early yesterday morning, about 4:30, there were several different groups from the RCMP. They actually had some help from Regina SWAT as well. They all went in there. They cleared the building, they cleared the RVs, and there ended up being 16 people total who were taken into custody. One of those was kind of from the town, not from the actual building, one of whom was Romana Didulo. Now, they cleared the buildings. They've been searching kind of yesterday and, as far as I'm aware, through the night. And last we heard, they hadn't found any real guns. They had found 4 replica handguns in the area.
Okay. So as far as charges go, yesterday at 2:30 or whenever the news conference was, no charges had been laid yet. Have we heard an update? Because we know if they were arrested at 6 a.m. yesterday, police have roughly 24 hours to lay that first charge in order to continue to hold on to the people that they've arrested.
Yeah, you know, we haven't heard anything from the RCMP yet. Now, that doesn't mean that charges haven't been laid. It could mean, you know, that they're getting their ducks in a row to be able to tell the public what's happened, what charges have been laid. And the RCMP was very clear yesterday, you know, if we don't lay charges, if they don't lay charges by the 24-hour mark and the people are released, that doesn't mean the charges won't ever be laid. It could just be that they need to gather more evidence to kind of bolster that and actually make the charges, be able to put the charges on.
Was there any talk about what happens, whether charges are laid or not? Will they be returning to that community? Do we have an understanding of that?
It's not really clear right now, honestly. I mean, Inspector Ashley St. Germain, she said RCMP it's not really their business to ban people from a community. It, you know, if they were charged, there could be conditions put on them to say that they couldn't go back to a place if the judge felt that that was appropriate. But if they aren't charged, then there wouldn't be any conditions. They did, when police were inside, RCMP said that they did notice that there were some structural changes that had been made to that former school. So they actually spoke to public safety, and public safety brought in some fire inspectors. So apparently the fire inspectors have been looking at the building and kind of assessing whether it's safe for people to be in there. So there is a possibility that there could be a determination that it's not safe for people to live there anymore. Mm-hmm. So that could be a factor as well.
All right. Any updates planned? Do we have any time set today for a continuation discussion with the RCMP?
No time set, but rest assured we will be making some calls and keeping on mm-hmm. them for this.
Okay. Lisa Schick, thank you so much for popping into studio this morning.
Absolutely.
Lisa, our senior reporter with CJME. So, you know, this case is obviously something that we have not only been watching and following, but we've talked about this a fair bit. And this dates back to, it predates me sitting at this microphone. John, I remember listening to John Gormley talking about the situation in Richmond. You remember this group actually initially stopped in Kamsack. So the extreme other side, the east side of the province, where they were promptly run out of town by the community. I mean, nothing illegal happened. No criminal offenses were occurred, but they basically were told, you're not welcome here, and they moved along. They quietly settled into the community of Richmond, and then it's been anything but quiet ever since. So it's really going to be interesting to watch this unfold. You know that when the police went in there yesterday, the RCMP do their raid of this compound, they had the critical incident response team, the tactical team, police dogs were there, regular investigators. They had drones in the air. It was an all out, all hands on deck kind of an effort. And there would have been a lot of work leading up to that. Not only the complaint about a weapon. So that probably was the catalyst to getting them into that place. They would have put together a search warrant, given them grounds to get in there. But they would have also had strong intelligence on the property, who was there, the layout of the compound. They would have had a layout of the school, but it likely was an old layout. So someone that knew the blueprint of the school, here's the classrooms, here's the washrooms, here's where the furnace is, all of those types of things. The reality is what we're hearing is some basically renovations or changes had been made. And I'll put the word renovations in quotes because I'm not expecting that they necessarily were beautiful, elaborate renovations, but they were likely to do with electrical system. They could be to do with heating. They could be removing walls and those types of things. So that's going to be a whole other part of this investigation. Lisa talked about that, but you know, as they are continuing to execute their search warrant, they would deal with the people first. They made those arrests. Now this search will be extensive, and they will be looking for documents. They will be looking for anything that could, number one, provide corroborating evidence to charges that they're already working on, or maybe identify new charges. Keep in mind, I mean, there's a variety of things that they could be looking at. Things like weapons charges and threatening charges obviously are pretty self-explanatory, but there's other sections of the criminal code like conspiracy to commit an indictable offense. Could be proven by documents or electronic files that they find on site, counseling to commit an offense, if that is the case. I'm not suggesting it's happened. I'm just suggesting this is the type of evidence they could gather in there. And then maybe even charges related to hate propaganda. There's a fairly high threshold for that. There's lots of case precedents that would need to be met in order to reach that level. However, it is very, very possible that any of those charges could be pending in the near future. But I mentioned it with Lisa when I was talking with her. They arrested most of this group at 6 a.m. yesterday morning. So they've got 24 hours to determine, are they going to hang on to the people or are they letting them go? And if they're hanging on to them, then they need to lay a charge. They may not lay all of the charges, but they might lay one that gives them grounds to hold them while they continue the investigation. Further charges obviously can be laid down the line. I know I'm seeing on the text line a number of people saying, well, why don't they just board up the school? Well, keep in mind the school's private property right now. So they do have the ability to say certain criteria have to be met in order for people to live in this location. And so that's why they've got, health and safety professionals. They'll have firefighting teams in there well beyond the scope of police to determine, is this a safe place to live? The other thing to remember is if charges are laid in relation to events that happened in the community. So let's say they find evidence in their search of enough to lay a threatening charge, then often corresponding with that will be conditions upon release. So they could be released with conditions not to contact certain people in the community. Whether or not we see this group, whole or in part, return to the community, I would say yet to be determined. But from what we heard from community members yesterday, clearly there is a sigh of relief that something finally has been done. I'm happy for the community of Rich Mountain that they've been, it looks like, released from the grip that this small group have had on them. And so we'll continue to follow this story along. Let's take a break. When we come back, lots that I want to dig into, including should we be ending Canada's temporary foreign worker program. Pierre Poilievre is calling for that. I've talked with some business owners in this province that are saying it's not quite that simple. Looking forward to the conversation with you when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.